Lessons from the Lev, Parshas Bahaloscha. I promise you that even though it's Bahaloscha, and some of you have a little problem this week. You're going what you call to your back to your temporary homes, and you'll be laning the same parsha you laned already. You still have to go to shul. I'm going to paskin for you. But one day you'll do Parshas Bahaloscha. And first of all, thank you very much. It is Isru Chag B'Karnus HaMizbeach, and we have no chiyuv to certainly learn with Rav Hartzin. Certainly have to learn every day. It is Isru Chag. But thank you very much, because it's very difficult for me. For the next 2 weeks, I'll be speaking to myself, and then Emir Hashem going to the Koilo with Kobe Kolo, with my buddy over here, and we'll do this live again. But I hate talking to myself. I like lock myself in a room, and hopefully, and then usually there's Abba, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to try to record again. Okay, so I think this lesson is very, very apropos. As we hit Bar Midbar, maybe Vayikra for us, some of it was, a little boring korbanos, and we start to get into some really interesting stories. And we have some questions of Bnei Yisrael complaining all the time. And they seem to be very Jewish, if you will, that they complain all the time, right? Oh, and we know this from our own lives today. You guys are going to be flying home and be like, oh my God, I cannot believe my father upgraded me to business class and like, they didn't have kosher food. And I'm like, okay, calm down, business class boy. But Bnei Yisrael here get the greatest thing of ever. They get, they're in the Midbar. Yes, I get it. And I get the Chet HaEgel, and they have to stay there a lot longer. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is protecting them to such a level that in a few weeks from now, where we read Parsha Shlach, we learn that the greatest of the great, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael because they were nervous that Bnei Yisrael wouldn't be able to take it. Because in the Midbar, that has everything taken care of them. Their clothing grew on them. Okay? And if they get haircuts. Their food was literally divine food that could taste like anything. And then they come and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, oh, I don't like the man. Yucky. Oh, I remember the busser. The busser. Remember the papagayos in Mitzrayim? Answer is, no, we don't. What are you talking about? But they start to say all these amazing things. Mi yachelinu basar, this famous pasuk. Vayitzach olam Moshe. All these great things. Where's the meat? Used to be a commercial back in my day, right? It's called Where's the Beef? Where's the Beef? There's this old lady, Nebuch, she passed away since. She was like 90 years old then. She was like little, she's like 4'10", and she was like, Where's the Beef? And the commercial, I think it was for Wendy's, that all the other companies, there's not real beef. And we know this, right? The joke, you go to a hamburger, like you go to a cheapo hamburger place, say, how is the hamburger 25 shekel? So the first thing is it's not kosher. The second thing is, the second thing is that you could have ice cream. Why does McDonald's, how can a kosher McDonald's have ice cream on the side? So number one, it's never working. Okay, we know that. But the other thing is maybe it's not really meat. I don't know. Fine. So, and then they start complaining. They say, oh, do we remember we ate the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions? Oh, bechinam, the kishuim, abatachim. But now this is a very straight now. I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of the complaint, because either the complaint was a total lie and they totally forgot what was going on. We'll discuss selective memory in a moment. But what's the yesod over here? Right? So again, I admit, there's a machlokes whether or not what exactly happened, and why the man wasn't good. Rashi has different perushim of the despair. And so Moshe gets so upset about this. Vayishma Moshe za'am bachal l'mishpacha, they're crying. And Moshe can't take it. And his response seems to be quite extreme. Vayoyim Moshe el Hashem, lama ha'reis el avadecho, lama lo matzasi chen ve'anecha, l'shum ha'masa kol ha'am. Moshe says to Hashem, Why? What have I done wrong? Why have I not favored in your eyes? I can't take it anymore, these people. They're all a bunch of complainers. I can't do this anymore. And the angry buster, where am I going to get buster? I can't do this anymore. And he says this line, unbelievable. V'im kacha, at. Asa, Rashi comments why it's in Lashon feminine. Kill me now! I can't do this anymore. So when we look at the Pesukim, we ask ourselves a question. Wait a minute. What's okay. Bnei Yisrael complained. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he got the tafkid of the Jews. So they complain. This complaint is a bit not normal. I get it. Kill me now. There's got to be something more here that we need to focus on. And it's a very important midah to work on, just in general, parenthetically on the side, is the midah of complaining. We're very good at complaining. We don't recognize the good that the Rabbeinu Shalom provides us with, or the good that our parents provide us with, or the good that our yeshiva provides with. And we always look at the negative side. And we always look to complain. And always our memory doesn't serve us correctly. I'm very fond of a rabbi here in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Aaron Levy. He's a master speaker, but more than that, Rav Aaron Levy is a master in Kiruv. And he calls it the Chok HaZikaron, right? If you will, the Murphy's Law of Remembrance. We always remember things better than they were in the previous situation that we were in. So Baruch Hashem for you, you're always going to remember yeshiva as a good place. You're not going to remember the difficulty you had. I remember that first week. Remember when I came the first week and I brought you something? Do you remember? You were crying. No. I want my mommy. You know, you don't remember that, right? But what do we always remember, honestly? We remember high school. Oh, high school was amazing. We remember the good times. We don't remember that we were bullied in high school. We don't remember that none of the girls ever talked to us in high school. I'm just talking about my high school. We never talk about that. Everything was always, Iska Holland was amazing. That's what Bnei Yisrael did with Chok HaZikaron. Selective memory. There were a few things good about Mitzrayim. Like, I'm sorry to bring it to a level that maybe you think is inappropriate, but Mitzrayim was like the Holocaust. Imagine somebody who escaped the Holocaust would ever say, ugh, but I'll tell you something, Poland, ugh, that was amazing, Poland. What? Mitzrayim was amazing? I remember the watermelons? They took your children and used them for bricks. Are you mad? The being that we are always remembers things as better than they were. That's a big problem. That's a very big problem. It was so great. This was so great. He always has a story, Rav Aaron Levy. So he tells a story that's very, very current. During COVID, a lot of people use the term America, so I'll say America. We know America well. That in America, they said, okay, that's it. There's nothing to live for here. I'm moving to Israel. You know, I joke about this a lot because I live here. You know, Obama? Oh, that's it. For sure we're moving to America. Some people even the opposite. Trump? Oh, we're moving. Biden? Oh, we're definitely moving. Our gas prices are getting very similar. You know, don't complain about the gas anymore. So what is it? So this person was a very good friend of his. He was, he did Yuridah. He was a friend of Aaron Levy's, around the same age, 60 years old. And he says, it's time to come back, he said to his friend, Rav Aaron Levy. He said, you have no idea what's going on here. I went through 2 years of something that we never thought would ever happen, of quarantine, of not being able to legally leave our houses. And then the whole Black Lives Matter movement comes, and now there's further quarantines. They're telling people they can't go, don't go into the streets. It's dangerous. It's time to go home, he said. So Rav Aaron Levy was like, okay, so he goes, oh, I can't go. So why can't you come back to Eretz Yisrael? He says, my family, my wife will never move. My kids, they'll never move. So he says, but you're a rabbi. You talk to them. He goes, I can't talk to them. He says, what do you mean? He says, Chok HaZikaron. I know exactly how the conversation is going to go. Your family's going to be like, yeah, yeah. It's bad now. It is. It's bad now. First of all, it's going to get better. It can't stay like this for the forever. Right, I'm not kidding. I remember when it first started 2 years ago, Pesach, right before Pesach here in Eretz Yisrael was right. I remember that horrible, I'm sorry to say the word horrible, and Purim. But Purim, where we didn't know what we were doing, and we were celebrating, and we killed people, right? Literally, that's what happened. People had everybody over, and then people started getting COVID, and it spread like wildfire. On Purim, on Shushan Purim, at the time, the
the health minister was Mr. Litzman, no longer a Knesset member, I'm Avin Yavin. And he said, I remember him saying, there's only 36 people in the hospital right now. 36. Baruch Hashem, now it's around the same number. Two times high, he said. That's something special. I remember because he was wearing his, he's a Gera Chassid. So he's wearing his Gera, it was Isru Chag. It was Shushan Purim, sorry, Shushan Purim. And he was wearing his Shreimel and Bekesha. And he says, a lot of people think I'm dressed for Purim. He goes, but I'm a Yerushalmi. It's Purim for me. So we wear about, this is not a costume, because it looked very strange coming up to the Knesset and he's wearing a Bekesha. And he said, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And my parents were supposed to come for Pesach, and we thought they would come for Pesach. We're like, okay, it's going to get better. They can't not let Jews in for Pesach. It's a big business. And we waited and waited and waited until they closed the country down. And we're like, nobody had Pesach. It was like, and then Nebuch, the whole yeshiva left. Closed the yeshiva down. We didn't know. But we think people are better. We always talk about, oh, it's going to be better. It's going to be. He says, your family, they're going to only talk about the good stuff. They go, I know, but you get more. We get more channels and cable here in America. Netflix, it's better. Forget about Amazon Prime. You get like Bob the Builder only here, you know? No way. Everything. Because that's what we do. And this is a very important lesson for you guys. Sometimes you're going to come back to America and you're going to remember the good stuff. Excuse me for being very blunt. And you're going to say, ah, I remember in high school. Things were much easier in high school before I knew any halacha. It was so much easier. Nobody woke me up in the morning for minyan. I remember the sleep that was in Mitzrayim. I remember that. That was amazing. Now minyan is terrible. I have to wake up in the morning. My kids are right now in the 9 o'clock minyan next door. Nebuch, Nebuch. I had to go to the 9 o'clock. You know, 9 o'clock, I had to wake up. Nebuch. Right? That's what I remember. That. And I remember what a good fist pump felt like from my friend that was a girl. Oh, well, that's amazing. Right? Right? The melons of Mitzrayim. That's what I remember. So, Chok HaZikaron, that's lesson number one. It wasn't so good. Think carefully how good it was. It wasn't as good as you think it was. Azai Chutzpah. You come back. Halach is Halichas Olam. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says. He says, the reason why, and maybe you, especially if you're coming back here, I'll make a little suggestion, right? As you know, we have a custom every day of saying Ein Kelokeinu. Continue saying Ein Kelokeinu. If for nothing else, for the last line. Alech Kru, right? Halichos Olam Halachos. Why? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's not a play on words. Halachos are called Halachos because they're Halichos. They're guiding you how you should exist in this world. Hashem really cares how I tie my shoes in the morning, how I take a shower, how I... Yes. Because you always have Hashem on your mind, you're not going to sin. That's the type of person. Instead of thinking about what was and what will be, think about the present. Number one. Lesson number two, says Rav Aaron Levy. This is actually a year later. He gave the next lesson. He goes, HaMivchan HaBasar. What's the test of the Basar? He quotes a fascinating Medrash. And the Medrash explains to us what went on here? Why Moshe wanted to die rather than lead Bnei Yisrael? And the answer is, he says, something else extremely important. Moshe Rabbeinu was Lokam Yisrael Kamoshe'ot. He was the ultimate Navi who understood the Jewish people better than anybody else. And he looked at the Jewish people and he said, this has nothing to do with Basar. This is not a Papagayo speech. This is not about the cucumbers. It's not about the pickles. It's not about the watermelon. You know what it's about? It's about complaining. It's about always complaining. And when we give them the basar, they're going to say, okay, this is good, but it's not. And now we want this, and now we want that. Oh, filet mignon? Yes, Bnei Yisrael is reeling from Mam and Har Sinai and all the halachos that they have now. He says, this is just... We have in halacha called, you know, in Gemara terms, simon v'siba. The real reason, the underlying reason, is that they're always want to complain and say it's always better. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'noshel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, says the Midrash. You give them basar, they're going to want more. The bottom line was they didn't want one thing and one thing only, the oil of the Torah. They didn't want the connection to the Ribbono Shel'olam. They didn't want the chiyuv to have to learn every day. Oh, it's a story, I say. So he says he finds this very interesting. He's for an Israeli Haredi person, he's very normal. And he says, here we are. We started our own colleges now. Haredim are going to college. What kind of colleges are there? Well, they have to keep to the rules and regulations of a Haredi Jew. So they're separate colleges. I don't have a problem with that. Right? There's a boys' college and a girls' college. Similar to America, they have such a thing, I heard. Yeah. So now what's happening? He says, oh, all of a sudden, they're complaining, whatever you want to, whoever they are, complaining and said, oh, look at this. Kfiat datit. Because you know who they're taking along? They're taking along us. Because the religious Zionists are like, actually, I think that's a great idea. I would love to also learn with separate boys and girls separately. That's a good idea. Oh, no, you're taking our normal Jews. You're taking the normal, or you know, the Orthodox, the modern. Oh, don't take them. All of a sudden, Haredim go into the army. Oh, now the army starts complaining and says, oh, now we have to find Mahadran food for them. Oh, we can't have half-naked soldiers at the base. Oh, sorry. Because you can't have it both ways. Because the real thing is they don't want to be part of our, they don't want us really. That's what it is. This is another very, very important lesson. What's the underlying thing? Sometimes we will be challenged by someone who is not happy with how we turned out and really wants us to stop from growing in what we are. So you know what they do? They challenge us with a very simple term. Oh, come on, that's stupid. You don't think that's antiquated? Come on, are you following that? Seriously, you do that? People still do that? Okay. Not in my shul, we don't know that. We don't do that. You don't text on Shabbos. Half Shabbos, what? Get with the modern world. And with the Lomdis. With the Lomdis. Azai Yisr Durabonin, maybe. Shvus to Shvus. It's the Mokal Mitzvah. Mistama to Mokal Mitzvah to see what's going on in the world, you know. The simon is they don't want you to grow. It's not about you. It's probably about them. And them realizing that they're doing the wrong thing. But lesson number three is perhaps the most challenging of messages. And that's from the great Rav Avram Shapiro, who's the chief rabbi of Israel, Rav of Merkaz Harav Cook. His son now is the leader of Merkaz Harav. And he says as follows. He says, Hatana shel choyser gashmiut nover biyusoda mirekanut shel ruchniut. The real complaint here, whenever somebody complains about something gashmius like basar, it's about ruchnius. It's about the fact that they lacked something that they needed. They didn't have the ruchnius. Rav Shapiro says that it's not about the basar. B'nei Yisrael hayu achisaron in the ruchnius level. And they blamed it on gashmius. Bishah, Shinbu HaSanhedrin, and therefore the Pasuk follows with the answer that some way appeases Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is, establish a Sanhedrin. What does that have to do with the price tea in China? Ma'in Shmitil Zahar Sinai. We have a machlekes in our house. I have one kid that says, I don't understand, what does it do with the price of tea in China? I'm like, go upstairs, you have to go to sleep now. He's like, what does it do with the price of tea in China? I don't have school tomorrow. I'm like, no, that's not the way you use it. Okay, fine. And the other kid's like, Ma'in Shmitil Zahar Sinai. That one gets me more. I'm like, shh. Usher. What does that do? So says Rav Shapiro, of course. You know what the Sanhedrin is going to do? It's going to bring everyone down. Parshas, I have to quote Bamidbar, you know. Parshas Bamidbar, that we're laying in the Chutz La'aretz. You may be laying the Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you're not just a number. You're a name. Su'u es Rosh, lift your head up. Who are you? David. Avram. It wasn't enough for them. Now they're going to appoint a Sanhedrin, and they're going to help the Ruchnius in each of the Shvatim, in each of the camps, each of the flags, the way that that's what we need. Says Rav Shapiro, that was the Chisaron over here. It wasn't about the Basar. It wasn't about the,
the cucumbers that were better there. L'chein, when they put the Sanhedrin, ki'ilu sheyizke, shetanuach aleihem haruach asher alecha. Now every day, every waking hour, you'll see the people. You didn't get to see Moshe every day. But a Sanhedrin will be a rap. Oh. The whole concept of Aliyah L'Regel that we miss out on was the Jewish people. That the Jewish people were able to see, go up to the base of English. They could have lived in Lod or Beit Shemesh or whatever. They walked up to Yerushalayim and they saw the greatest of the greatest. The Kohen Gadol, the Gedolim of the Gedolim. Ah. Ah. The little kids went, wow, that's a rabbi. Wow. Kohen Gadol. And inspired us. That's what we need. We need ruchnius in our lives. And that's why it says in Gemara in Maseches Makos, Oy his kesef, lo yishba kesef. Ze Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't mean anything to me. We had this discussion at our Yom Tov table. Excuse me for bringing chitzoini things. And they said the godless of Mr. Beast. Just came out with this video. The godless of Mr. Beast, my little kids are into him, is that he says, I don't care about money. Elon Musk says this as well. I don't know how true this is. But they said, okay, we need certain things. That's why the godless of the concept of the Mr. Beast is that he put all the money back in, right, to give out $500,000 and be a Willy Wonka, right? So people watch the videos because like, well, this guy's really true. This guy, okay, I'm not saying I'm not a multi-millionaire. I'm not stupid. But that's the yesod over here. The yesod is, oftentimes we complain, Hutaiva Rekanut, I'm missing something in my life. We fill our lives sometimes with the gashmias, with the movies, with the busser, with the friends that are girls. Because I have a void in my life because I don't have the real thing I should have. It's called Rechimus. It's called the Torah. It's called the Mitzvahs. It's called the connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. Rav Kook talks about this very much as well, and I'll just end with the words that Rosh Rav Shapira ends with. Mi parasha zu lamadnu, we learn from this parasha, ki harofeh hanochachi v'amiti, the true doctor, well, the true healing for Bnei Yisrael is going up on the level of Ruchnias. And he says today, that's why we need Marbitzei Torah, we need people to teach, we need people to fill the void that Nebuch was felt through generations and generations. And this is the most important lesson probably that you could take with you. You need to fill your life with Ruchnias. The only way you'll be able to truly remember your year in Israel, L'toiva, is not the Gashmias part of it. And this is the true remembrance that's good. Chok HaZikaron, that's good. And the Chok HaBasar, that's good. It's not the Basar, but the Ruchnias. You bring yourself back to that moment. For maybe for some of you for the first time in your life, probably all of you for the first time in your life, not about the staying up, as some Talmud told me. This is the first time I stayed up and actually learned any Torah. We all stay up, I have a bunch of friends, you know, it's fun. And the rikud that we did before. Remember that concert, that speech, that whatever it is, we go back to those moments and say, I was happy then. That's the true me. How do I bring into my summer ruchnius when maybe I made a decision that will be challenging in the summer? A place I'm going that isn't necessarily kulo Torah, or a place that involves a little. How do I get myself to be kulo Torah? If I'm going to a summer camp and there is learning there, how do I get myself to that learning? How do I get myself in a base medrash when other people aren't going? You have to commit yourself to ruchnius. And not reikonos, not emptiness. Because that's the first thing that will leave you off the path. I always say, the moment, the day that you land, the first challenge you're going to have is going to shul for shacharis. Because your parents want to see you, they haven't seen you, and huggies and kisses. Huh? And you have to do the research now, Rabbi say. Chachaveinu barosho. Where are the minyanim in your community? Don't wake up, in 2 weeks from now and be like, I really should be going to minyan. Some of you are lucky, you have a later minyan, an 8 o'clock minyan. Some live in a community, Nebuch, the late minyan is, look at these late guys, 7 o'clock. Okay, so when you land, you have to go to that minyan and say, hey, I want to go. And oftentimes your father would be like, wow,
let's go. And I know parents who never went to Minyan before, now start going. Starts with that. Starts with the first day landing and saying, what time is Mincha Ma'ariv in America? I don't know. Yes, and they have this invention called Mincha Ma'ariv, which may work very well for you. And you go at 8 o'clock. And you have to figure out, you say, parents are like, we want to take you out. It's a first, we want to take you out for dinner. Great, mom and dad, it's amazing. Is there any way we can go out at like 6 o'clock? Which anyway, parents are old. We love going out early. So we can go to sleep, you know. Just because I want to make Mincha Ma'ariv. They're not going to make fun of you. Loser, you go to Mincha, you're a loser. Your parents are not going to do that, I hope. Talk to me. I'll talk to your parents. You got to set yourself up for success. So let's just review. Chokas Yikaron. Remember the good times, the truly good times, not the gashmias times that you remember from high school and you remember from the... No. Take the ruchnias times. Chok HaBasar. Remember that it's all about gashmias. So what was the bottom line, the Midrash says? We were defining... It wasn't anything about basar. It was more and more and more. Gluttonous. I just want more and more and more. I'm always going to complain. I just want physicality. And Rav Shapiro's beautiful idea... that it was the Sanhedrin because they were inspired the Jewish people. Their lacking was a lacking of ruchnius. And it's hard because we're in now, right now, in the land of ruchnius. Because you could have the biggest musr shmooze if you want to really spend some money, you know, get in a cab and just say to the guy, just drive me anywhere. I don't care. Here's 50 shekel, drive me. I want a musr shmooze from you because the cab guys know how to talk musr. Oh, they could talk musr. They're going to give you the, you're going back to America? What's in America? You know, like, they're amazing. And many experiences you had that were outside of the yeshiva, whether it was you, how you celebrated Yom Ha'atzmaut and seeing the streets and seeing how people reacted. That's what you have to take with you and remember. And Meretz Hashem, be zoichet to keep that with you. And always remember that sometimes you have to come back to recharge your batteries. To the place where hopefully the greatest ruchnius experience ever happened. Come back to recharge the batteries, to keep the ruchnius going in Mirtz Hashem. Should all be zoiche to Mirtz Hashem have a yeshuv tov, a temporary yeshuv tov when you return to your homes. Make sure to give big kisses and hugs and thank yous to your parents who put you on this path of ruchnius, who invested a tremendous amount of money. And should be zeicha to have ruchnius in your life always, and should give nachas ruch to the Rabbanu Shalom, which in Mirtz Hashem will bring, be as gol tzedek, and heiru yameinu. Amen.
Amen.